Word of the Lord came to Elijah, depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And after a while the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Amen. And we pray that God will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts today. Amen. Over recent days, all of us have become familiar with new phrases and terminology. Not so long ago, hardly any of us have heard of coronavirus, whatever that was, or COVID-19. None of us had heard of what that was. Similar phrases like total lockdown usually referred to a terrorist incident, but not now. Then phrases like social distancing, what does that mean? And then we're talking about whether things are pandemics or epidemics. These questions have been raised by just these recent events. And the one I'm going to think about today is this self-isolation. What do we mean when we talk about self-isolation? That's why I read here from the 1 Kings chapter 17, because here we have a prophet in self-isolation, the prophet Elijah. It's not because he's been a victim of the coronavirus or any other disease or plague, but God has told him, and the words are this, depart from here, God says, and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. The question is why? Why did God send this prophet out to a place to be on his own, to self-isolate beside a brook, and to be fed in a very unusual way by birds bringing him meat and birds bringing him bread? But God told him to do that in a particular context and in a particular time. You see, there was a problem in the land. This was the land of Israel, the promised land. This was the land that God had given to a people of promise. This was a people that had a history going right the way back to Abraham over hundreds and hundreds of years. This was a people who had a temple built by Solomon, where the presence of God was believed to be in the midst of his people. This was a people who had been given signs of grace, the sign of Passover, the sign of circumcision. And most of all, this was a people who had the Bible, who had the prophets like Moses, who had the Word of God in their own language. These were a privileged and a blessed people. But things had changed in the land of Israel. And you need to read the previous chapter just to discover what had been going on in the land. A new king had come to the throne. His name was Ahab. And we're told about Ahab that he did more evil in the sight of the Lord than all that were before him. He'd also married a woman called Jezebel, who was from a neighboring nation, and she seems maybe even to have been a priestess of what was called the religion of Baal. Baal was a fertility cult. Her father had been a priest, and she herself had introduced into the land of Israel some 850 false prophets of Baal. They'd set up things like totem poles, and they were introducing all sorts of new rituals and traditions and rites into the land. It was like this raw sewage of false religion had come into the land. And as an example of some of the things that were going on, you can read about how one man decided to rebuild the city of Jericho. The city of Jericho was only to be rebuilt, the Bible had said, at the cost of your firstborn son, but he didn't believe the word of God. He would do his own thing. And he went ahead and started to rebuild the city, and his son died. But he carried on, and when he built the gates of the city, his second son died, but he carried on. That was the tone, that was an example of the defiance of God that was going on in Israel at this particular time, as God's word was set aside. People knew better than God. God was dead and irrelevant. God was consigned, as it were, to the dustbin of history. So what does this say to us in the day and age in which we are living? Well, firstly, it says this to us, that when things are bad in the country, God knows all about it already. God is sovereign. God is in charge of events. God is in control. He knows what is going on. Here was an unbelieving king. Here was the spread of the virus of false religion. Here was defiance of God's word. But God had this situation covered. We could say to ourselves, well, God knows nothing about this. We could say God is aloof. He's uncaring about the decline and about the way things are going. But nothing could be further from the truth. God knew all about this state of affairs. That's why he sent the prophet Elijah out into the desert to sit beside the river. We'll come back to that later on. But it was God's beginning to reverse the situation, to change the climate of the land. God was sovereign, and God knew about this state of affairs. And you know what an encouragement this is to you and to me as we are living now in very uncertain times. The arrival of this coronavirus, the fear that has been generated, the statistics on death, particularly in Italy, are really awful. But what is going on in the ground, in the hospitals, up the street, down the lane, in your factory, in your workplace, in your school, wherever it may be, God knows. Hence the words I began the service with, Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. And do you hear that word? Therefore we will not fear. This is a call to put your faith into action. It's a call to put your faith into gear, as it were, and not to live in a fearful, faithless way, but to trust God who is sovereign and to believe he's got it covered. The second thing we find here is that God uses means to speak to a nation. You can read about how in verse 1, Elijah had gone into King Ahab and he had said to King Ahab, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. This was the man who stood before God. This was the man who had the authority of God upon his life. And let me say, drought isn't always a judgment of God. But this drought was sent for 3.5 years, says the book of James, to speak to the people, to humble the people, to call the people back to God, that they would once again drink from the true living waters of the living and true God, rather than drinking the filthy waters that the Baal religion had introduced into the land. Now, I don't come to you today saying that I believe the coronavirus has been sent by God specifically, although it may well have been. But I do know the coronavirus is having a humbling effect upon us. It's making us aware of our vulnerability. It's making us aware of our need for something outside of ourselves, for some higher, greater power. A young man said to me just the other day, he's lost his job as a result of the coronavirus, and his work has been canceled. And he said to me, this has had a humbling effect upon his life because he has realized that he's been idolizing his job. Now it's been taken away from him. And we live in a society, is it not true, that has been moving very far away from God. New gods have come in amongst us, feel-good gods, neon gods, the image is everything. People have been worshiping these gods and even redefining, for example, marriage, subjects like that. These things have been happening in the land. And suddenly these new gods are no use. They have no relevance. They offer glitz and glamour, but they're no help, they're no hope when we're faced with matters of life and of death. God was using means to speak into the nation. The third thing we find here is that God's in no rush to do anything about the situation. We just think God should answer our prayers like that, but no. Elijah is sent off into this place away from the center of population. He's to sit by a stream and he's just simply to sit there and wait as the water dries up. How long does it take a river to dry up? The book of James says it was 3 years and 6 months before the rain fell. But it shows that the wheels of God grind slowly, although they are grinding, oftentimes not as fast as we would wish them to grind. I don't know about you, but this current crisis has given me a lot more time to think and to pray, and a lot of us are going to have a lot more time than we normally have. Kevin DeYoung is an American pastor, and he wrote a book not that long ago called Crazy Busy. Because the reality is that for so many of us, life had become crazy busy, and we live our lives crazy busy. Our lives are full of rush and hurry and worry and instant gratification. I want it, and I want it now. But God's ways are not our ways, and God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And God is giving you time, He's giving me time to remember your Creator, to cultivate your soul, to seek the Lord while He may be found, to discover the Lord Jesus Christ who died for your sins on the cross, and then to sit down under His shadow with great delight, to find time with God. For the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. So let me end today by just simply directing you to the prophet sitting by that stream in lockdown, as it were, with God, in self-isolation with God. Can you not see him? By the brook Cherith, east of the Jordan, he's sitting. That's it. He's sitting there, and the ravens bring him bread. The ravens bring him meat morning and evening, and he drinks from the brook. Those were harsh conditions under a Middle Eastern hot sun for 3.5 years. But I wonder what he did. You think he just sat there? You think he just topped up his tan? Was that really what he was doing? I don't think so. I think Elijah was praying. I think Elijah was seeking God. I think Elijah was this one man on his own before God, closed in with God, as it were, in self-isolation with God. No wonder the book of James says, Elijah prayed fervently that it would not rain. He prayed again and the heaven gave rain. The prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effects. I encourage you to use this time to discover the power of prayer, but to let that discovery of the power of prayer take you to the God who answers prayer. To know God your Father, to know God the Son, to know God the Holy Spirit. And to believe that God has used this coronavirus in order to humble us, in order to take us away from simply frittering our lives away on things that don't matter, to find the things that do matter. As Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Will you seek his face? Will I seek his face? Will you humble yourself? Will I humble myself? Will we meet with God in power and pray to him and seek his face? This is a time to be full of faith, to be full of joy, to be full of hope, and to be full of peace, knowing that our God is sovereign. But more than anything else, God wants you and I to get to know him. To know him through the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ. If you've never come to Christ for salvation, come right now and put your trust into Christ. And then grow in that knowledge. Grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And find that he is more than able, that he is abundant, that he is a God who gives mercy to those who don't deserve it. He gives grace to those who don't deserve it. And he's able to bless us and to do things in our lives that we wouldn't have imagined even if we were told beforehand. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this prophet in self-isolation. And Father, we thank you that this is a reminder to us, Lord, that you are a God who has all things under your sovereign control. Help us, we pray, Lord God, to look to you, to use this time of crisis and of difficulty, Father, to know your blessing in our lives, to know your Son in our hearts, and to know, Lord God, the call to serve you that goes out, Lord God, in such times. Hear us, our God, as we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.